living here's not so bad.
A car should never be a home.
I park on a quiet street, lock the doors, and I hope no one notices me.
Have you noticed? We have. At Helping Up Mission, a woman in desperate need can receive food, a safe place to sleep, and a new beginning.
Winter is coming.
Go to helpingupmission.org. Notice the need, and please give generously to help at helpingupmission.org.
This episode of the Black Girl Boss Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks is a super simple invoicing solution that lets you create and send slick, professional-looking invoices in seconds. I personally use FreshBooks in my business to send invoices to my clients, to send recurring invoices to monthly clients. I use it to track my expenses. I actually switched over from using QuickBooks to using FreshBooks. And to be honest, not just because they're a sponsor, but I truly love FreshBooks because it's just super duper easy. It's very user-friendly, so I can log on to my FreshBooks dashboard and see exactly what my business, how my business is doing. I can see when my invoices are going to be sent out. I can see what invoices are past due, who I need to follow up with, all of that good stuff. So I love FreshBooks. It allows me, I can take a picture of my receipt, upload it right into FreshBooks, and it'll track all of my expenses for me. And to be honest, my favorite part about FreshBooks though is that if I need to have a question or if I need help with anything, I can just call and talk to a real person. I know a lot of these invoicing softwares, you got to call and deal with these automated systems. So FreshBooks, somebody picks up super quick and I get to talk to a live person and get help on what I'm looking for. So I definitely suggest that for all of you guys that are trying to get better with your expenses, find a new invoicing solution or just find a better way to run your business on the back end. Definitely check out FreshBooks for free for 30 days by just going on www.gofreshbooks.com/blackgirlboss and enter Black Girl Boss Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So one more time, go to www.gofreshbooks.com/blackgirlboss. Let's start the show.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Hey guys, it's Tatum, and welcome to another episode of the Black Girl Boss Podcast. So I realized like these episodes have been so long, and it's so funny because I'm always trying to figure out who am I really talking to, because when I record these, I'm in a room by myself, going off of my notes. So it's always funny to me how long the podcast end up being. But yeah, this one's actually going to be a little bit shorter. We have some really good questions, so I wanted to spend more time on the questions. But the main segment for today is going to be about how to win at the comparison game, because I feel like right now it's the end of January. This episode is going to come out on January 22nd. It's the end of January. And so now the whole new year optimism, this is going to be the best year yet. I'm going to do all of these things. It's kind of dying off. So now, and it's funny because people are just so fickle. Like, at first it was the people, like, I'm tired of people saying new me, new year, new me, you're going to be the same as last year. Those negative people. And then now, because it's towards the end of the month, those same negative people are like, see, y'all still ain't doing everything that y'all said y'all was going to do at the beginning of the year. Y'all done already fell off. So it's just like, because there's those naysayers that are basically just combating everything every time somebody is doing something positive, a lot of times it leaves you to feeling bad that you haven't, let's say, already made your $1 million by January 22nd, or you haven't already quit your job by January 22nd, or your business isn't already off the ground by January 22nd. It gives us this fake reality that we're supposed to be successful already because we set these high goals at the beginning of the year, or that because we, let's say, may have fallen off or not as consistent as we were off the gate, that we can't get back on track. So I wanted to do this episode because you may be scrolling on Instagram or on social media or talking to people and seeing like people maybe making these great strides in their business already, getting these great results. Like, oh, it's only the first few weeks of the year and I've already XYZ. And those things are excellent for those people. But if you're the person who hasn't been as consistent and maybe have fallen off a little bit, you may be feeling bad or comparing yourself, feeling like your year is down a drain already. So I really want to speak to that person in this episode to provide a little bit of encouragement on how to win at this comparison game. Because as I was doing research to trying to find some facts and some studies and things like that to back up my point on this, I found consistent studies that talked about how comparison on social media is linked to things like anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, not just in teenagers. I knew this about teenagers because of my work with the youth, but I didn't realize that this stuff is applying to adults as well. Adults are feeling bad about themselves and their lives because of what they're seeing on social media. And so this isn't a game. I know I've said before on this show, don't compare your chapter 3 to someone else's chapter 30. But the truth is, because social media is such a big part of our lives, it's not that it's easier said than done. You know, I can tell you don't compare your chapter 3 to someone else's chapter 30, and you can be like, yes, I'm not going to do that. But then when you go on Instagram, you can't help it. And that's because it's something that's happening in our subconscious that's doing that. So we're not even aware of how to combat this. And so that's why I wanted to talk about this today and give some tips on how you can win at this comparison game so that you can keep the momentum that you had at the beginning of the year, or you can regain the momentum that you may feel like you lost, or you can just have some encouragement on how to focus on your own journey and not feel like or not be affected in any way by what someone else is doing. So the first point I wanted to make was you can't place value in the positive that someone says without placing value in the negative, because the root of both of those is putting stock in what other people think. And I came to this realization actually this past week because I was on iTunes, like looking at the reviews of the podcast, and I was just getting so full, like shedding thug tears and all, because I was just so grateful that something that we started we started in 2016, but launched it in 2017. Something that I was so doubtful about has impacted so many people. Like, I know I can look at the numbers and see how many people listen to the show every week, but it's nothing like reading the reviews and seeing what people say and reading the DM. So I was reading those reviews on iTunes. Please go leave us a review, by the way. But I was reading those reviews on iTunes, and I was just getting so full and so grateful and just thanking God for little old me to be having such a positive impact on other people that I don't even know, who don't even know me. So I do want to just say to you guys that are listening, I'm so grateful for you guys. It really makes my day. But anyway, I was reading those comments and feeling so good. So then I got to kind of searching around. Like, I Googled the podcast, and I was just like going through like articles we've been featured in, different articles about top podcasts and things like that. But I came across a negative article. And I didn't know it was negative when I clicked on it. So it was another article just talking about podcasts. So I was reading, like, and it wasn't an article. It was more of like a discussion thread or whatever. So I was like reading it, and it was not positive to say the least. It was very critical, not constructive criticism either. It was, cause I'm really good at constructive criticism. Like, people have emailed us, I know in the beginning, people have like reached out and be like, hey, look, this audio on this episode, you know, and I'm like, okay, cool. That's something I need to focus on and improve. Like, I'm great at constructive criticism, but just being mean, that's just not okay. But anyway, so I was reading it, and to be honest, my feelings was kind of hurt. And so because my feelings was hurt, I was like, let me, cause I really have tough skin. So I come across things that make me feel a way, I like to take a second to analyze my feelings first, because I'm the type where I never want anybody, especially anybody negative, to have control over my emotions. And so if something has the power to make me feel anything less than my best, then I immediately have to analyze it to figure out why, so that I can correct it and go back to focusing on things that make me happy. And so in that, and that's just something that I do to make sure my mental health stays where it needs to be, to make sure that I stay in a positive mood, to make sure I stay productive and focused on the positive things that I've accomplished, as well as the things that I still have left to do. And I don't let anything negative sidetrack me or keep me from doing what God called me to do. So that's the reason why I like to analyze any feeling that isn't positive. And so in analyzing it, it was like, I really had to go and actually pray about it, because I couldn't understand how to find the balance of being vulnerable, because a big part of the show is being vulnerable, letting everybody into the journey of entrepreneurship, letting everybody into the wins, the losses, et cetera. Like, the premise of this show is vulnerability. This show cannot happen without transparency and vulnerability. So I was trying to understand, like, what is the middle ground of being vulnerable and transparent without giving people the power to affect your feelings based off of the things that they say? And what I realized was what I said it before I started telling this story, that you can't put stock in the positive that people say. And like, I can't expect to go on iTunes and read these reviews and be in tears and of joyous tears because I'm so grateful of the things that people say. I can't allow that to make me feel that way, even though it's positive, without allowing something negative to make me feel the opposite way. So there's no way I can only block myself out to I can only open myself up to positive stuff without being affected by the negative, without being infected by the negative. So it was kind of like a little epiphany that I had, and I could be wrong. Like, I'm just telling y'all the conclusion that I came to based off of that situation. And so, but when I prayed about it though, I was asking God, like, well, what is the solution? Because to be honest, when I see negative stuff, it's like, man, I put myself out there every week. I talk about stuff that I never would talk about for real, for the sake of helping others. And then somebody gonna try to play me, like, excuse me, and then be dead wrong with trying to play me and the stuff that they saying. Like, I was like, that was my mood. So I'm like, you know, God, how are you calling me to be more open and to share things with these people and to be able to impact these people in a positive way? But then you got the trolls too. Like, I don't really like that. That makes me want to be like, forget you, I'm not doing nothing. But that's not fair. You know what I mean? That's not fair to you guys who love this show. And that's not fair to my calling. That's not fair. That's actually being disobedient to what God has called me to do. So I was really like asking, I had to go and ask God straight up, like, well, what is it? What is that balance? And what God told me was, I'm focusing on the wrong thing altogether. And it's crazy because God has been trying to get that point across to me for a while, but I just wasn't really getting it. And it wasn't until he said this to me in my quiet time and talking to him that I got it. And I understood, like, dang, I've heard like 4 sermons on this recently. Like, God has really been trying to tell me this, but for whatever reason, it wasn't registering with me. But I had to go grab my prayer journal so I can say exactly what I wrote down. So for you guys who have prayer journals, what I do is I write down messages that I hear from God, and I put a sticky note on it so that I can always go back and refer to what God said. But anyway, so one of the things that God told me was, when you focus on me, you're protected from paying attention or even noticing things that will hurt you. And I was like, wow, that's it right there. Because if we focus on God, God is never going to hurt us. He's never trying to hurt us. We may do things that we don't like. He may have us be obedient in areas that we don't want to be obedient in. But if we focus on him, we would never be hurt. It's like having tunnel vision. And I wrote about this in, like, I was creating content, and I think I wrote this in like a post to be scheduled on my Instagram. But it was saying that when you become a God-centered entrepreneur, when God becomes the CEO of your business, things shift a little bit. So natural business acumen may tell you to take heed to like reviews and things like that. But when God is a CEO, you only focus on what God wants you to do, because it's like God is giving you the blueprint for your success. If you just listen, and he gives it in the form of instruction. So he tells you, okay, go do this. You just go do it. And it all is going to work out for you to be successful. But it takes true trust and surrendering to get to that point. So it was like, I'm making this transition of not necessarily making this transition, but I'm tightening up spiritually. So when I'm taking these things to God and he's being 100 with me, like, look, you focused on the wrong thing. The positive reviews are great. It's, of course, it makes you feel good, but the negative is going to make you feel bad either. I mean, feel bad too. But if you come and focus on me and what I have to say, you won't even notice the bad or the good. You can be grateful for the good, but my opinion is what ultimately matters, because people are going to applaud you when you're doing regular. People are going to applaud you people applaud you for things that may be like step one compared, or entry level compared to what God wants you to do. So even if you take heed to the yeses and the hand claps and the praise and the reviews that people or the testimonials or whatever that people give you, you have to, it's okay to read those things and to feel good about them, but that's not your focus. Your focus has to always, always be on God and what he wants you to do, because that's the person who knows the end from the beginning and what's going to make you successful. So that's kind of where I came at that point. And I wanted to share that and share kind of how I worked through those emotions to get to that point, to realize I needed to change my focus, because this happens to people every day. Like, I just so happened to be searching for certain things related to the podcast. But a lot of people every day are scrolling on social media, comparing their lives to others, or looking at, or somebody may post something. It may not be directly about you or calling you out as explicitly as this was, but it may be something like, oh, if you ain't making no money in your business, then you broke. Or, yeah, the reason why you ain't successful is because you ain't doing this. Like, it may just be something that somebody says that may connect with a certain insecurity that you may have in your business. But because you're letting that stuff get to you, it shows that your focus is off. So a way to win at this comparison game is to shift your focus, is to shift your focus offline and shift your focus to God, because God is going to be the one to tell you exactly what you need to do to be successful, tell you exactly what you've been doing right and exactly what you need to improve on in order to be successful. And I'm telling you this from firsthand experience. Like, if I go through my prayer journal just for this year alone, I've asked God straight up, like, you know, what are the things that you need me to work on? Like, what do I need to be focused on? And God has told me straight up things that I need to change, or things that, and a lot of it, to be honest, has nothing to do with business. God is like, you know, I need you to work on this in your personal life, and I'm going to take care of the business part. I need you to just do this and I'll take care of it. I need you to just do that and I'll take care of this. Like, he really gives you instructions. So I really wanted to make that point first, that when you focus your relationship or focus your attention on God and what he says, you won't even have room to end up comparing yourself to others, because you're going to be so in love with who God has already said you are. Number two is number two when winning at the comparison game is to understand that entrepreneurship is not a race at all. And because we live in this instant gratification world, we always feel like it's a race. Like I said in the beginning of this, we feel like because it's January 22nd and we haven't made $1 million yet, then somehow we're doing something wrong. Or because we haven't got the number of clients we wanted to get yet, or we're somehow doing something wrong. Yeah, a lot of it really is timing. You know what I mean? A lot of it is things that we have to really go to God about, but you have to understand that entrepreneurship is not a race. And this is something I had to check myself on as well. I was this year so far, I mean, between the end of last year and this year has been like a season of new for me. You know, I got engaged at the end of last year. It was a new year, the holidays. I moved right at the first week of the year. My fiance got a new job. It's just been a lot of new things happening. And these are all great things, don't get me wrong. But it was just something I had to get adjusted to. You know what I mean? Understanding, like, I moved from Maryland to Northern Virginia, which is not far, but it's a new area. So just kind of getting to know where I am, where I'm, you know, what's around me and stuff like that. So it's just transitional. And so because of that, God has also been dropping ideas in my spirit for me to do. So it's been things that I've been working on the back end that people aren't going to be able to see until they're completed. So I have some great things that are going to be coming out in February that you guys are going to be like, dang, she putting out a lot of stuff. It's because I've been working on it for all of January. But I've been feeling lazy because I haven't been putting out as much. You know what I mean? I've been feeling lazy because I've been seeing, okay, here we back to this comparison thing, right? I've been seeing like maybe other people are putting out new courses, new this, new programs, new that, new whatever. And I feel like, dang, I ain't even had time to do that stuff because it's been so much going on in my personal life, just getting adjusted to the transitions as well as getting things in motion that God's been telling me to do. And also my new schedule. My new schedule, I told you guys for this year, because I'm tightening up spiritually and God keeps telling me to focus on Him. I do more spiritual things throughout the day than I do business. So focusing on God for part of my day. So now for the time that I'm working on my business, I have to be even more focused so that I'm still as productive. But it's still an adjustment. I'm used to waking up and maybe saying a quick prayer and going straight to work. But now I can't do that. In order for me to get to where God's trying to take me, I can't do that. So it's been an adjustment. And I felt like, dang, I'm lazy because I haven't done XYZ. Even though my income hasn't changed, you know, I'm still doing well in my business. It's for some reason, mentally, I've just felt like, oh, I should be doing more. And it's because I'm looking at it. I don't know why. I think it's because of the point that I made of you can't look at entrepreneurship like a race. Like me focusing on, I feel lazy because I'm not working, let's say sitting at my computer as much as I have in the past, is taken away from the fact of the reason why I'm not is because of so many amazing things that's been going on. You know, it's been so many positive things happening in my personal life. And I'm mad because for some reason I'm not stressing over business. And I think it goes back to those seasons of entrepreneurship that I talked about on the last episode. Me being so used to grinding in the trenches, I'm not used to the season of becoming yet. You know what I mean? So I wanted to share that with you because I want y'all to know, like, it's real.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding somebody willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move our business forward. If I wanted candidates who match what I'm looking for, I'd trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people that you want faster.
And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored job posts directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Y'all know I have a lot on my plate, and if I needed to hire an assistant, Indeed is exactly where I will go. And I will go and be very specific. I need someone who is tech savvy, who knows how to assist someone who has multiple brands, somebody who was forward-thinking, a problem solver, and who has done this for at least 5 years. And here's the thing with Indeed-sponsored jobs. I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes from people who don't understand the ins and outs of an online business with moving parts. That's what makes the difference. You get people who actually are what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job to the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, do it the right way with Indeed.
You have to constantly keep yourself in check when it comes to your entrepreneurial journey to make sure that you're focused on what God wants you to do. You're focused on growth and you're appreciating how far you've come and not trying to race to the next thing. It's not a race. You know, life coach Tish that we've had on the show plenty of times always tells me, you know, you don't have to get an A at this, you know, and I'm an overachiever. So I'm used to getting an A. Like, I'm the type of person who wants an A on everything. So I have to keep that in check when it comes to entrepreneurship so that I'm not thinking that it's a race. And same thing for you guys. Entrepreneurship is not a race. If you can only do 3 things for your business that week because of your other responsibilities, if your schedule allows, even after you've made the necessary sacrifices, you've gotten more discipline and your schedule only allows you to accomplish 3 things for your business that week, that's okay. You know what I mean? That's totally okay for you to do those 3 things, because if you keep doing those 3 things every single week, eventually you're going to meet your goal. It's not like a race to some imaginary finish line of success. I was listening to Eric Thomas' podcast this week, and he was talking about they were talking about fitness and how a lot of people have fitness goals and or goals in general, and it's hard for them to keep it up, especially with this time of the new year. Of course, it's hard for people to keep them up after some time. And so he was asked, the other host CJ was asking ET, like, well, how are you able to stay consistent? What are your tips for people to be consistent? And his tip was real. He was just saying that you have to just do a little bit every single day, a little bit, and not get so obsessed. I want to quit my job this year. So now you're obsessing over quitting your job as opposed to just focusing on, I want to make this amount. I want to do XYZ in my business this month. And then little by little, that piles up on top of each other. And that equals you quitting your job. It's calming yourself down enough to just put one foot in front of the other. And I had to, and he gave the example of when it comes to his fitness journey, he says every day he's going to do 10,000 steps. That's it. So if he has calls, he just walks around while he's doing his calls. If he doesn't have a lot of time to walk as much, he'll hop on a treadmill. So he's not hopping on a treadmill every single day. So even though he doesn't like it, he can knock it out once that week to get the steps in on whatever day he may not be able to walk as much. But he just does it a little bit every single day. And eventually that adds up to the fitness goals. So that even made me revisit my goals, especially with my health and wellness journey, looking like, okay, I'm obsessing. I am the person that obsessed over stuff. I research everything. I need to know what's going on. Like, I obsess over everything because I do at times get caught into, I want this to happen quickly, but life doesn't work like that. So I had to even revisit my fitness journey and be like, okay, if I lose, let's say 1 pound a week, I'll be at least 50 pounds lighter, even though I don't want to lose that much weight, but I will at least be 50 pounds lighter by this time next year. So if I only focus on losing that 1 pound a week, then I'm good. Eventually, I'm going to lose the pounds that I want to lose, as opposed to being like, I'm going to work out intensely 7 days a week. I'm only eating lettuce. I'm only drinking water directly from the bottle. Like, making all these drastic changes that's not even reasonable for me to keep up. Instead, I'm focusing on being consistent in the small so that it builds up to something bigger. So for you guys that's listening, understand that entrepreneurship is not a race. And the way that you win at that comparison game is to just focus on doing one small thing a day, one thing a week, a few things a week that's going to get you to your goal, as opposed to feeling like it's a race. You know what I mean? So when you look at somebody else's journey, you're not feeling bad about your own because you got your plan. You know, like I'm crushing these 3 goals a week for 6 months, and then I'm going to get to that goal. And then 6 months after that, I'm going to get to the next goal. But I'm not going to be out here just doing anything just for the sake of keeping up with the Joneses. And lastly, I just want to reemphasize the importance of having tunnel vision. And I used to think having tunnel vision meant that you should be focused on your goals and your ambition and block out everything else. But this week, I really learned that tunnel vision is focusing on God and blocking out everything else, including your ambition and your goals. And I know y'all are like, that sounds crazy, but it's true, because God is your ambitions and your goals may be chump change compared to what God has for you. So when you focus on Him instead of what you want, you're guaranteed to reach your best life because He's the one that's going to give it to you. So I wanted to emphasize that. One more thing I did want to say is, don't get so caught up in who you want to be or where you want to be in your business that you forget who you are and how far you have come. A lot of times in this comparison game is because somebody else may be living that self-employed life and we want to quit our jobs, or somebody else may be buying a new car and we still dealing with the car troubles that we have, or somebody else may be on vacation and we're going to work. Like, there's always a reason for that comparison, but 9 times out of 10 is because somebody has something that you want. But it's important too that we tap into appreciating who we are right now and how far we've come, and understand that it's our journey and our journey alone. And I want to end with my favorite quote is, don't compare your chapter 3 to somebody else's chapter 30. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know how far they've come. You just so happen to tap into or to follow them starting at chapter 30 of their journey while you're still just beginning. So yeah, that's all I wanted to cover about winning at the comparison game. When I read that comparison on social media was a major cause in depression and anxiety for people in our age group, I definitely wanted to talk about this so that we can understand what's going on here and we can go against it, because the devil is really out here trying to knock us off our game. And if we're all on social media, he's going to use that to get us in that depressive state and to get us in those states of anxiety and low self-esteem. So I wanted to bring this to you guys' attention so that we can just work on it. Work on focusing on God and not getting caught up in the things around us, so that we can all just be out here living our best life. So I'm going to take a break. If you have any other advice or suggestions or whatever about winning at the comparison game, or ways that you have overcome comparing yourself to others besides anything that I said, definitely shoot me a DM at Tatum Tamia, TatumTemia, and I will share your feedback as well on the show. So I'm gonna take a break really quick and I'm gonna come back with questions. And I'm back with questions. As usual, you guys, if you want to ask a question to be answered on the show, go to www.blackgirlbosses.com, click on the Ask a Boss tab, and I will answer it on the show. I am a personal stylist and I've had my business since 2014. I still have my 9-to-5 because I'm not financially ready to let that go. There are so many factors with the with the finances that I would not bore you with, but that is the big obstacle in making my business the way I want it to be. My questions are, even though I've been doing this for 4 years, I'm still not getting the clientele that, for one, I would love to have, and two, that I know will help me out even further of the financial hole that I'm in. I've actually started an image developing company with two other people this year that is going to be amazing. We each bring an element to the company that works perfectly for this to be a success. But of course, you know, with any new business, it takes money to make money. My problem is I don't want to be the weak link in this group. Due to my financial situation, if I can't put in the money that needs to be done, this is not me tooting my own horn at all, but styling is something that I'm very good at, and the clients that I do have make sure they are getting every penny's worth. She put in parentheses, I'm not cheap. So I know my skills contribution to the company will not lack, but being able to put in financially in the beginning and support the traveling trips we have planned so far are going to expose me as the weak link. I just need your advice as to what you think I should do to help myself out of the situation, or if it is even possible at this point. So let's start with the question about the advice that you wanted on how to get more clients in your business. So first, you said you have a few clients. So I think the first step and what will get you the quickest results are to utilize the clients that you already have. So ask your clients to give you a list of referrals. So ask them if they know anybody who is in need of a stylist, who have been looking for a stylist, or they think that you're a good fit for. Ask them for their name, the name of that person, as well as the email and phone number of those people, so that you can reach out to them and tell them about your services. So definitely start there. Also, get some testimonials from your clients so that you can use that when in your marketing and things like that. So that would be the first thing. And also revisiting how you got the clients that you have, so that you can keep doing that, because obviously something in that is working because it did get you the clients that you have now. So that's the first thing. That's where I would start in order to see a little bit of quicker results. Now, the next thing is, I have questions for you as far as, what is your marketing like? Do you have sales funnels in your business? What is your client acquisition process like right now? What is your marketing like right now? Do you have a marketing plan, or are you just posting on social media to get new clients, or are you just meeting people in person and following up with them, or are you just reaching out to friends and families? Like, what is it? If there's no funnel, plan, structure, and process, then the next thing you need to do is really go to the step one in creating those things, so that way you can start experimenting with different marketing strategies to see which one works. The reason why a lot of people aren't able to get the clients that they want to get is because they have no structure on how they're going to get those clients, and you have no process to get those clients. So then when something isn't working, you don't even know what's not working because there's no process in place. So I always like to use the example of like the sales funnel. A funnel is a cone. A funnel is shaped like an upside down cone. So it's wide at the top, narrow at the bottom. And it's symbolic because, of course, as people go through your funnel, less people are going to actually purchase from you than who enter into the funnel. But the benefit of having a funnel is, let's say your funnel is super wide in the hips, right? Let's say your funnel has like a bulge at some point. People are getting stuck at a certain place in your funnel. It's great because it tells you where the problem is. So now you know, dang, I'm not getting as many clients as I want. Let me see where everybody's getting stuck at. Then you're able to go back and make adjustments, as opposed to if you were just shooting in the dark the whole time, it's going to be a lot harder. And also having funnels and automation and things like that in place allows you to be able to take time off from your business, so you can actually enjoy being self-employed when you get to that point, as opposed to just feeling like you have to grind 24/7. So I'm actually going to be doing a masterclass on this in February. So definitely keep a lookout for that. But I really think that you should first start with the clients you already have and maximize those to get new ones. And then two, go back to the drawing board to create if you don't already have them. So if you do have funnels, go back to see where people are getting stuck so that you can make the adjustments to get the clients that you want. But if you don't have them, then definitely start creating those structures and systems in your business and that creating that marketing plan, and utilize help if you need to, a consultant or a business coach or whatever, if you need to, in order to make that happen. And also, if you haven't done this already, really go and figure out like your survival number, like how much it costs you to live without your job. So if you're saying that you're in this financial hole, what does that look like to get out the financial hole? How much money do you need? How many clients do you need in order to sustain your lifestyle? You know, what can you cut back on in other areas in order to get yourself to where you need to be? What sacrifices can you make in order to make things happen? So I will also suggest that you do that as well as you prepare to get your business where you want it to be for you to leave your job. Now, on to the second business that you are going into with your friends. I'm a firm believer in getting the first business to the a stable point before you commit to something else. Because now, especially when you're getting involved with other people, you may have the skills and things like that. But do you have the time to give your all to this new project? Do you have the time to give your all as to that project and your current business that you're growing? So I would really first take a little introspective look and be realistic with yourself to decide if you're able to do that first. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I say that because a lot of times we get excited about new business ideas. It's like, oh, this sounds so great. Oh, yes, this is going to be perfect. She can do this. I can do that. She can do this. This is going to be the bomb. But then when you really get into the knee deep of the not so fun and exciting parts of building a business, it's like, I don't even have time for this. I'm still trying to get myself out the financial hole with my other business. Or I'm still trying to get more clients in my other business. So I would definitely really think about those things first. However, if you've already thought about those things and you're still trying to figure out how to go with this new business, I'm a firm believer in communication. I think one of the biggest skills that anybody can have, I think two of the biggest skills that any person can have that are so underrated is communication skills and conflict resolution skills. Those two skills will just totally, totally improve your life altogether. But anyway, nonetheless, when it comes to this, communication is everything. I don't think that you should get involved with this business knowing this and not be honest with them. I would tell them straight up, like, look, I'm not in a position to contribute this money. I know I have a lot to offer this group, but I didn't want to go into this leading you guys on to think or having you guys planning your money to with the assumption that I'm going to have my money and that I don't have it. And I knew I didn't have it already. And then we all looking at each other, or you guys are upset with me. So just be honest with them and let them know I don't have it. And then I will also offer a solution, like, but I would still like to be part of this group. So what can we work out? Can my equity in this company be lower in the beginning? And then when I get the money, I can buy more equity for myself later? Or can you guys hire me as a contractor to the business as the stylist? Can you guys contract my business as the stylist for this business? And then you just pay me to do my job and I'm not a joint owner of the company. So definitely offer some solutions. I think those two solutions are pretty fair. You know what I mean? I think those are pretty fair for you to offer them, but I definitely think a conversation needs to be had. And if this is something that you can and really want to do, then figure out how you can make that work and offer that solution to them. And then you guys can work out the specifics of what works and what doesn't. But a conversation definitely needs to be had so that one, you don't burn that bridge. And two, it's just a courtesy, you know, because I know I look at everything of how I would want somebody to act with me. And I would want somebody to just be honest with me from the beginning. That way we don't have to have these problems when it comes down the road. And also have these things ironed out in your paperwork. A lot of questions that we get about like businesses, especially businesses that people start together, there's no paperwork in process in play, which is crazy to me. So really make sure that the paperwork is there. What does the paperwork say? How much money is everybody putting up? If you put up $10,000, how much equity does that get you? In a case that somebody doesn't have the money, then what happens? In a case that, I don't know, God forbid, but if somebody passes away, what does that mean for the business? So really make sure the paperwork is ironed out. Who having that and having things like the operating agreement and stuff like that in place from day one, before y'all even start traveling the world and things like that. Because if you're going to be traveling for this business, that's business expenses. So who's responsible for the travel? Are y'all operating out the same bank account? Y'all going to have some type of bookkeeping. So how is the bookkeeping going to go when there's multiple people involved in this business? How does that work? So I really, really think you guys should have that conversation before you even start doing anything. And you should definitely be honest with them and offer some solutions so that it can be a mutually beneficial thing, and it can all work out however it's supposed to work out in the end. So thank you for your question. Okay, next question. Hi, I'm super excited to receive feedback from you. I just want to say I recently started listening to your podcast and I love it. I'm a 19-year-old freshman in college and I'm majoring in business. I started a business while I was in high school selling hair. I wasn't consistent because honestly, I didn't know everything I needed to know before running a business. During that time, I learned a lot. I now want to focus on a business meaningful, something that drives me, something I'm passionate about. I was wondering if there was anything you would suggest that I do to figure out what kind of business I want and how to run it successfully. So first things first is every single business is supposed to solve a problem. So if your idea does not solve a problem, then go with the next idea. Also, if you want to start a business that you're passionate about, I would explore those different passions. Because you're studying business, you're going to be learning. Business school really teaches you how to be an executive, not necessarily how to be an entrepreneur. So what I would do is do a lot of volunteering work, especially while you're still trying to figure out what you're passionate about. I would do some volunteer work in the areas that I'm passionate about and ask a lot of questions. So let's say you're passionate about animals. I would go to like shelters or vets or whatever and volunteer, but also get in cool with the owner and ask different questions about what it's been like to offer to build up a vet business, or what it's been like to I don't know if people own a shelter or if that's like government related, but just asking the people in charge different questions so you can just get some intel on what it's like from a real person, as well as doing some research on what the industry is like for that idea. Next question. What inspired you to start this Black Girl Boss podcast? I started this podcast because I felt like I've always been an avid reader, and I felt like there were a lot of books and other podcasts. I love podcasts, so I do listen to a lot. Other podcasts and things like that. And everybody was always just telling you the top X ways to be successful, or the secrets to living your best life and all of these things. But they were so far removed from the trenches, so to speak, or so far removed from the building blocks of getting to where they are. They were almost unrelatable. And I really wanted to know the details. Like, I wanted to know the ins and outs of what their journey was like. And I felt like I couldn't find that. I couldn't find anything that I can watch or listen to or read that really let me into the trenches, you know, gave me a sneak peek of what it was like growing a business from the ground up in real time. So I started this podcast to fill that need. I knew that if me as an entrepreneur was looking for that, then other entrepreneurs had to be looking for that too. And I've had conversations with people who were entrepreneurs trying to find that same thing. So I was like, I'm just going to create it. And so that's what I did. That was my inspiration behind starting this podcast. And I love it. I mean, this podcast has been amazing. Milan and I have been able to share some pretty awesome moments in our journey thus far. So yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for that question. So that wraps up the question, you guys, and I'm actually going to wrap up the show here. Definitely send me your wins of the week. We didn't get any submissions this week, so go to www.blackgirlbosses.com, click on wins of the week, and it'll shoot me an email, or you can just send me an email directly at Tatum, T-A-T-U-M, at TatumTamia.com, T-A-T-U-M-T-E-M-I-A.com, so that we can shout you out at the end of the show and celebrate all the amazing things that are happening in your business. I will talk to you guys next week.
Amazon Business honors Ricardo Gurgel, owner of Veggie Root Tavern. This week, Ricardo saved big and used Amazon Business to help his team buy commercial deep fryers at a quantity discount. Because even veggies can be fried.
I'm gonna need 2 orders of fried fiddleheads.
With business buying easier than before, Ricardo now uses his extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon.